Well, just a word of prayer as we look at that passage together. May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Well, a well-known televangelist was in town, and great crowds of people were going to his meetings. And at the end of every address, there was an opportunity for prayer. And one young man came up and went in front of the evangelist, and he said, well, how can I pray for you? And he said, can you please pray for my hearing? And the evangelist put his hands on his head, and he said, Lord, we pray for this man's hearing. We pray that you'll bless him in Jesus' name. Amen. And all the people said, amen. And the evangelist turned to him and he said, so, how's your hearing? He said, oh, I'm not in court till next Tuesday. Well, pray for our hearing, okay? Let's pray for our hearing, because that's what this passage is all about. Jesus says, whoever has ears to hear, let them hear. And I want to, as it were, plant a seed in your mind today. As we witness Lee's baptism, it might make you ask the question, why would anybody publicly commit to the Christian faith and stand up before everybody and be baptized? And this is the seed I want to plant in your mind. What if there was a teacher who, when you heard them teach, left you spellbound, hanging on every word? What if there was a way of life that was completely compelling and you wanted to put your wholehearted energy into it? What if there were answers to all those questions of life that we've got about life and death and suffering and the powers of this world? What about that guilt, that nagging unease that we have within us? What if there was an answer to that problem of feeling guilty? Might there be such a story or such a script that should have our attention? Well, as Christians, we believe that the kingdom of God exists, that Jesus came into this world preaching a message of the kingdom of God, and that this parable, along with several other places in Scripture, say that it is by hearing that we enter into the kingdom. So I ask again, how's your hearing? Am I really hearing? You know, if God is broken into this world in some way, am I attentive to it? Am I hearing it? Well, we're very familiar with this parable, aren't we? We first of all start with a sower and some seed. And the sower is not digging a hole and planting an individual seed one at a time. Rather, the picture is of a sower with a bucket or a bag, pulling out the seed and scattering it sort of at will across the hillside. It is, to use communication language, it is broadcasting, not sort of narrow casting. Yeah, so that the message of the seed is generously sown everywhere. And the first thing that strikes you about that is the apparent waste. You know, a very small percentage of it brings fruit, and a lot of it seems to be fruitless effort. And I think Jesus tells this parable to encourage us as a church, that the bringing in the kingdom of God will seem to be unfruitful in lots of ways, but where it is fruitful, the fruit is amazing. 30-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. And the second thing that's interesting about that, and there's another parable in just after this parable in Mark's gospel, which talks about the little mustard seed. The seed is so small. You know, I remember preaching a sermon this once and having a mustard seed that I'd sort of illustrate with you. And of course, by the time I came to use the illustration, I'd lost it. I thought, well, I suppose that makes the point, doesn't it? You know, so small and insignificant. And what do? You go and bury it in the ground and leave it there. And the message that we have for many people seems to be small and insignificant, easily lost in all the chatter of the world around. Paul said to the church in Corinth, I came to you in weakness and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not with persuasive words of wisdom, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power. Paul was aware that he was a weak man. He wasn't like the great orators in Corinth. And that the message was a simple message, but powerful. He said elsewhere in Romans that I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it is the power of God for salvation for all who believe. So the sower and the seed, but the most striking thing is the results. And the results are all about the different ways that people respond to this message. Some of the seed bounces off, having never really penetrated. The seed which falls on the path represents those who hear, but without understanding. And because they've only heard at a sort of very superficial level, the evil one comes and snatches the word away. So they might, for example, come to church. They might have enjoyed meeting together with other people. They may have even listened to the preacher's sermon, but it's not really penetrated. And the reason is because their heart actually is hard. It's like the seed bouncing off of the hard soil. It's never personally transformed them. They may have had some questions about the faith, but it's not really gone in deep. The second bunch of seed falls on ground where it fails to take root properly. So there's initially a joyful response, but the birds come down and they eat the seed because it's not really taken root properly. And this is the person who initially responds emotionally and positively, but it's not gone down deep, not put proper roots. There may be a first sprouts of life, but the roots are not deep enough. Rather like the man who Jesus spoke about in another parable in Matthew, that the foolish man who decided to build his house on sand. And for all intents and purposes, it looked like the house that was built upon rock until the storm came. And when the storm came, the foundation was washed away, and so too was the house. And similarly, these people have only a shallow response to the message. They've received it with joy and excitement, but never really understood it. And I've seen people in church over the decades that I've been in pastoral ministry who will come for a little while, enthused, positive, possibly even do something like an Alpha course. But actually, because there's no real root, when it gets tough being a Christian, they just fall away. Jesus, in a sense, is sort of, in their mind, like a service provider. You know, maybe he will give me that peace, give me that meaning in life, but actually he's not really the central purpose as their king. The third group of seed falls upon the ground where it does take root, but the growth is choked out by the word, by the thorns. So the word is heard, and they've understood it, they've taken it into their life, but the implications of living as a follower of Jesus are actually now starting to have an impact. So, you know, the voice of materialism and worldly wealth all around stifles this fledgling growth. Their heart is divided. They've got competing affections between believing Jesus to be true and wanting to follow him, but actually realizing that that might mean a reordering of all of their priorities in life. And they get choked out by the busyness of life, by the seduction of money, being enticed by the world rather than following God and his people. And the cost for them then is too high. They want to be in the kingdom, but the glitter and the glamour of the world around them pulls them away. So isn't it interesting that sort of like three quarters of the seed never produces any fruit, but some does fall on good soil and produce fruit. There's evidence in these people's lives that it's been heard, it's been understood, it's been heeded. And how is there evidence? there's fruit. I mean, elsewhere, Paul talks about the fruit of the Spirit as love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. The mark of really coming into the kingdom of God is you start to look a little bit more like Jesus, and that fruit is born in your life. Now, the thing that's important to remember is there's absolutely nothing the matter with the seed. The seed has this embryonic potential, this power in the seed to produce life and fruit. But its result is determined by the state of the hearers of the seed of that message. And actually, that's quite a consistent message across the whole of the Bible. In 1 Samuel chapter 3, we're told that the word of God was rare in Israel. And it was largely down to the fact that Eli, the judge of the day, was not looking after his family and disciplining his sons properly, and the priesthood had become corrupt. But the word of the Lord came unexpectedly to the young boy Samuel. Samuel didn't actually know that it was God speaking and rushed up to Eli and said, "You called me?" And Eli eventually realized that he should say, "Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening." And he did do that, and he heard from the Lord. And that's actually a good posture for us. You know, whenever we open our Bible to read it for our devotions in the morning or the evening, whenever you do it, it's good to say, "Speak, Lord, because I'm listening." When you come to church on a Sunday and somebody's standing up there to preach, "Lord, speak to me, because I'm listening." Paul said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, these words, "We also thank God continually, because when you received the word of God, which you heard from us, you accepted it, not as a human word, but as it actually is, the word of God, which is indeed at work in all who believe." Right throughout the Bible, there's warnings about hard-heartedness. So in Psalm 95, you read these words, which are also quoted in the New Testament several times. "Today, if you would hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as you did at Meribah, as you did at Massa in the wilderness." Don't harden your hearts, because the seed will bounce off. You are to listen to and then respond to God's word. The very last book of the Bible, the book of Revelation, Jesus writes letters to the seven churches, instructions for them to follow. And at the end of each of the letters, it says, "Whoever has ears to hear them, hear what the Spirit says to the churches." So I ask again, how is your hearing? You know, not just are you listening, but are you really hearing it? And that, you know, your ears are open, as it were, to hear. The preacher is described in the New Testament as being, well, it's a Greek word that could be translated herald. And it's a sort of an ambassadorial role. It's that the king has got a message for all of his kingdom. And the king sends the herald out into his kingdom to speak the message of the king. "Hear ye, hear ye. The king says dot, dot, dot." And preachers are described like that because in themselves, they are nothing more than messengers. And in one respect, if you don't like what I'm saying, please don't shoot the messenger. You need to take it up with God because this is his message, not mine. But the role is really important because the king does have something to say to his subjects. So you need to hear. However frail and feeble the preacher is, the message is powerful. So, how is your hearing? Now, I know you've heard the story, you know, where the preacher stands at the front, he taps the mic and he says, "Can you all hear me all right at the back?" To which one wag responds, "Well, I can, but I'm happy to change places with somebody who can't." Well, we joke about it, but we're here to hear. So, don't listen with a hard heart. Don't listen you know, sort of emotionally only, you know, what can I feel now rather than letting it sink in? And don't be conflicted and divided. If Jesus is the king and he's ruling your life, then that applies as much, if not more, out there than it does in here. But truly hearing. Have you given Jesus a proper hearing? Actually, Alpha is very good if you want to investigate the faith. Have you made sure that you've sorted out in your own mind as a mature person what you believe about the faith? Not just recycling other people's secondhand doubts. Come along on Alpha to explore the faith for yourself from the 16th of September. Have you also counted the cost? Because if it's true, then, as we've heard in the baptism promises, it is worth standing up and declaring our faith for all to see. But not everybody thinks it's fantastic. You will get challenges in this world, but it's worth it because you have a king who's ruling your life. And have you appreciated that not all that glitters is gold? You know, that you can't have it all in this life, that it is easy to get sucked in by everything this world apparently offers. Don't let that distract you from hearing regularly from God. Do listen to all of the messages that we're going to be repeating and repeating over the next few months about Passion for Life. Passion for Life is the mission next Easter, and it is all about the opportunity for you to invite your friends to hear the message of the Christian faith with lots of events that we will put on as a church. It's the most important thing we do as a church, is to grow in our faith and tell other people about it. And therefore, my very simple challenge from today's sermon is, have you wholeheartedly responded, hearing from God, so that you'll find Jesus to be your king and your friend, and you'll truly know yourself to be in his kingdom? And if you'd like to talk to me more about that afterwards, I'll be hanging around at the back, and I'd love to explain a bit more how you can really hear the message of Jesus so he can transform your life. But for now, let us pray. Jesus, thank you for these powerful words. The reminder, Lord, that the gospel is powerful and changes lives. And thank you so much for Lee's testimony to that today. Pray that you would bless her, Lord, as she goes about her work and she travels, and then she looks to you to provide for all of her needs. Please keep her close to you, Lord, and protect that seed that's been implanted in her life. And for each one of us, Lord, keep us responding to you positively and hearing your message in Jesus' name. Amen.